We've been celebrating since Saturday night when everybody ran onto the pitch and Mercedes-Benz went crazy. Yesterday was our championship parade. I said earlier today, Darren, that I've got my championship T-shirt on. Darren Ills, president of our Atlanta United, joining us in studio. First and foremost, congratulations. I know that there's a lot of work that goes into this behind the scenes and all the things that you have to deal with from a managerial standpoint and running the organization. But you guys did a hell of a job. So in the moment right now, because we'll talk about what's going on, just congratulations from Atlanta. I know you've been hearing it from fans, and we're just very proud of you guys. Very much proud.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, no, it's been a crazy sort of 3 days. It's just been incredible how the city's got behind the team right from the very start, and it culminated in the parade, which, notwithstanding the sort of British weather, it was just an amazing turnout. And, you know, that moment where we sort of turned onto Marietta and there was still, you know, thousands of people there, that was a moment where I sort of sat there and thought, wow, this is just unbelievable.
You in the back of a Mercedes and then Arthur and then the guys in the bus. It really was. I mean, it's one for United fans, a moment we're never, ever going to forget, just like on Saturday night. How nervous were you? I know we talked, obviously, going in, but then, I mean, the set pieces and obviously the mistake, Parkhurst gets the steal. What an amazing way to win.
Yeah, I mean, look, on both of the goals, it's the issue you have with VAR nowadays is you can't celebrate, or I can't celebrate on both of the goals. I thought, ooh, possibly could have been offside. And until you see the replay, you just don't want to let yourself get too excited. So on both goals, there was that feeling when I saw the replay of, yes, get in there, we got the goal. And look, we knew all about the curse. So even at 2-0, it wasn't until the ref actually blew his whistle that I let myself think we've got this one. But, you know, on reflection, it was just pretty much what we've done in all the playoff games. We were very, very solid and focused and intense. And I think it was really a matter of time in terms of us winning that game because we just came out. We looked great at the back. You know, Parky with that tackle sort of summed up his season. Mm-hmm. You know, Joseph puts it away. You know, he seems to have so much time when everyone else is panicking to slot it away. And then Franco Escobar, our goal scoring machine right back, comes up and scores another goal in the playoff. So it was just incredible. I just thought it was going to get topped off with Tito at the end when he had that chance to make it 3-0. But we'll settle for the win. And thank you very much.
Yeah, no doubt. Darren Eels in studio with us, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Atlanta United now, we know moving forward, there will be some things that will definitely change for our team. Today we find out that Atlanta United has traded starting fullback Greg Garza. For the fringe fan or the person that's just being introduced to the game, Darren, and they're going, wait a minute, we just won a championship. Can you explain it from the standpoint of the club and then the general allocation money? How did this deal work?
Yeah, well, the first thing is it's the thing about Major League Soccer, and unlike other leagues around the world, we're in a salary cap environment. So that's the first thing is you've only got a certain amount of allocation of salary to spread around. So that's the first thing. The second thing is because we get to MLS Cup, actually we were making decisions on our contracts the next day, and we had an expansion draft today, which we were highly likely to lose a player given the strength of squad that we've got. Right. So we knew we were going to be losing someone today in reality in respect of that. So this was, you know, first thing is Greg has been just an unbelievable player for us. He'll always be an Atlanta United legend. He'll always be welcome back. You know, he knows that this is the nature of Major League Soccer, but, you know, he has been just an absolute key part of our club, an all-star in our first season, and unfortunately got injured in that game after a minute. So I was really pissed off, to be honest, that their coach revealed it on the television show today because we had everything set up to sort of do a tribute to him. And look, I don't know what happened at their end, but it's a bit raggy ass Rovers to sort of reveal it live without sort of talking to us. So, you know, that was a shame because we obviously wanted to be able to do something nice for Greg because he's been a key part of the team. But it's, you know, we have George Bello as a left back that's coming through. We've got Mikey Ambrose. You know, we've got areas there of players that can cover that position. And, you know, $450,000 is the allocation amount, which is a lot of money in terms of a salary cap environment. So that, in the end, was one of those deals that had to be done.
As we said, guys, George Bello, for those who aren't familiar, a youngster, still a teenager, one of the rising stars, obviously, MLS. And, you know, part of the reason we've got such a fantastic youth system from Atlanta United 2 all the way on up, and we got to see him actually make an impression already this year.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he scored in his second game, so one of the youngest scorers in the history of the league coming through from left back. So look, there's lots of positives to come through in that respect. And, you know, as I said, there was an expansion draft as well today, so the odds on we were going to be losing someone.
What about Parkhurst, by the way? Obviously, you want to bring him back. It's just a matter of just doing the deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Parky's been great for us. He's our club captain. You know, we love him to bits, and we're talking now in terms of bringing him back. And look, I think the city's embraced him. He knows that. He fits in well. So I'm pretty confident that we can get a deal done.
as we move towards a shortened offseason, by the way, because things are going to get going here pretty quickly for Atlanta United as we are in CONCACAF, guys. And you guys, we've been talking about it. Maybe Mike and I can take a trip with the team, but that's a whole other conversation. as we talk about what's next, what is the pecking order? Because, you know, for, again, fans that are new to this and they go, all right, we won the cup. There are some player moves. What is next in order or the pecking order of what you guys need to take care of?
Well, we've got, as I said, we had the expansion draft today that's happened, and now there'll be a little bit of the trade window open, so I'm sure there'll be some sort of trades going back and forth between a lot of clubs in MLS, and we'll take a look at that. We have free agency at the moment as well, so that's the time period where you're allowed to talk to players in terms of any potential free agents. So really, it doesn't stop now. We're straight into that. And then before you know it, we're going to be back for the Combine, which is the 3rd of January, traveling to Orlando for that. So it really is a very shortened off-season. And we've got a small matter as well of sorting out a head coach as well. So it really is just a quiet time for us.
Well, that was my follow-up is, what is the timetable for getting that new coach now?
Well, look, for us, we start preseason 14th of January. So that's our deadline is that's when we want to have the new coach in place ready for that first day of preseason training.
What, have you played in a big coached a big match in Spain recently?
No, I mean, look, we're genuinely, Mike, now starting to talk to various people.
Right.
And look, we're going to make sure we do our thorough job and talk to a lot of coaches and make sure we get someone that fits the criteria that we're looking for. And it's pretty obvious stuff. You know, we want to play a style of play like we do now. Youth development is really important to us because in a salary cap league, I've said this before, it's absolutely imperative that we have our academy producing players because that helps us get a little bit like we saw with the Red Bulls this year, a team on the pitch that you can actually have strength in depth because of the academy. And then, you know, I've spoken about before this idea about being pioneers, this idea about building a culture that has this engagement with the fans. Because we saw it at the parade, we saw it at the game on Saturday. The connection that we've got between the players and the club and the fans is just incredible. And we want to make sure we keep that and don't fall into that trap that you have in some of the leagues around the world where you're in an ivory tower and everything's sort of security away and there's no interaction. We can't ever forget that it's the fans that have put us where we are and we've got to keep that going.
Criteria-wise, you're laying out some of the things for our new coach. Guys, you know Tata's moving on, and one more year, everybody was screaming. But as far as experience, how much does that play into this? I mean, when you say, I want a new coach who has these things, where does experience fall into that?
Yeah, look, I think it's important to have some experience. But again, you know, there'll always be those trade-offs. Is it someone that's an up-and-comer that you think you've really got a chance here to get a superstar that's a rising star? Is it someone who's more like Tata was, which was much more experienced? I think the reality is we're in a slightly different position from a team from scratch. So we have got, you know, we know we've got a fantastic squad. We've already built the base. We've got an identity. I do think it's not a case of bringing someone in who's going to rip it all up and try and do their own thing. So there's an element there where slightly different from the criteria with Tata is, you know, we need someone who's not too proud to realize some things are working well. So you don't want to change everything just for the sake of it as a new man coming in. So I think that's the sort of slight difference from someone who had a blank sheet of paper because, you know, we did need different qualities in that respect.
Darren Eales is with us, guys. And again, we take it for granted, but we always appreciate the access. You coming up to the studio on a weekly basis to talk United. Super team president Darren Eales joins us here live in studio. All right, I know that by the way, English tabloids, when it comes to sports, make sports talk radio look like credible with all the rumors floating around. But just to reiterate, you have a number in your mind for what you would accept for a transfer from Miggy.
I don't have a number in my mind. I have a number that would make me at least engage
okay.
and get out of bed, as I said. It's got to start with a 3, and then we'll think about it.
So there's a good chance, just to follow up, because we talked a lot about this with the fans on
Demanding.
Monday.
Demanding.
I know. So it's not an impossibility that Miguel Almiron could be a United player next season.
Well, no, he's a United player for the next 3 years. I mean, unless we choose to transfer him to another club for a money offer that we find acceptable, he's an Atlanta United player. So that's the great thing for us. We're in a good position there. So we'll just see how it goes. But I tell you what, they loved the chump change quote. That was the one thing. So the number of texts I got from England from various chief execs at clubs said, oh, yeah, I didn't know what that phrase meant. But
Carl, we never play poker with this guy because how many times has Darren left our studio, looked us right in the
eye? Nothing.
And sometimes within the hour, a move got made.
Nothing. Right? I'll see you chumps later.
Yeah, boom.
Nothing. What about Pity Martinez? Could he potentially be able to play with a guy like Miggy at the same time? What do you think about something like that? Because there are rumors out there about that.
Yeah, but again, Carl, I mean, he's playing at the moment for River Plate, and I think they've got to go to the World Club Championships now. Haven't really been following them, but I think that's the case. So, look, he's not one of our players at the moment, so I can't really comment on him.
You like his game?
Well, he scored. I saw that he scored, which is pretty good to say he scored in the Copa Libertadores, which is the equivalent of the Champions League. And, you know, he made his debut for Argentina as a 25-year-old. So he's actually a current Argentinian national team player. So you must be pretty good if you can make that team.
Right. And if guys are just tuning in, if you're a United fan, we tweeted out that Darren was coming on. You might have seen the news that Greg Garza today traded to Cincinnati for a lot of money. What about the wealth of riches or whatever you want to call the depth we've got? Tito comes off the bench. Barco comes off the bench. Those guys could start for other teams right now in MLS. I mean, it's a good logjam to have, I suppose.
And it's what we need, Mike, because the reality is we spoke about it with Champions League, with the Campione's Cup now we're going to play in August against whoever wins the Liga MX final that's coming up next week. So we've got some big matches, and we're going to have a squad. I mean, more than ever, because of the travel, because of the pressures we saw with Toronto this season in terms of what happened to them. So absolutely vital that we have a squad, and we're going to need. We don't need 1 to 11; we need 1 to 20, really, because they're all going to be important and all going to be used. And to be fair, they all were this year, so it was very much a team effort. I mean, I know you come to the playoffs and you remember the players that played in the final, but everybody from the Romarios out injured at the moment scored a crucial goal for us earlier in the season. There are people in that when they have their time to step up, they need to step up.
All right, some Darren Eales moments. Did you sleep Saturday night?
I did eventually. It was a late one. I felt like it was great, actually. Was it the Ravine nightclub in Midtown? And I felt like the Atlanta TV show, because I was up on a private booth with the cup, and every ten minutes I'd just wave it at the crowd on the dance floor downstairs, and it'd all cheer. And,
and then I saw the picture that you tweeted where you're sleeping with it. You're curled up in the fetal position with the MLS cup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I didn't get mugged, because I sort of walked back from...
Down
16th Street with the MLS cup, and I'm gonna have to work out more because my arms are killing me from carrying the cup.
Obviously, you celebrated. What did you drink? What was your beverage of choice?
It was really whatever anyone was buying me, but there was a lot of champagne.
Okay,
nice.
All right. Well, again, man.
What do you do now? Do you have any vacation time? Do you get a chance to do something else?
No, free agency started. No way.
No, I mean, it's crazy. It's New York tomorrow. We've got Board of Governors meetings and media there. And then I think from my perspective, I'm hoping I might get a couple of days between Christmas and New Year, because that tends to be a quiet time in Major League Soccer. And the reality is it'd be nice to get a bit of a break before we get into the combine.
Alexi Lawless was on our show last week, and it was fantastic. And we're going to debrief now. And he said that you're the team, super team. He's been throwing that out, super club. Now the fact that other teams, you've raised the bar. I mean, you feel you're going to get some dirty looks when you're up there in New York talking to the other honchos?
Yeah, I mean, look, and it's really what we want, because if you're successful, everyone else is looking to knock you down. So I think that's something you've got to take with the success. Look, I do think the reality is, and I've spoken about this in interviews I've given this week, we were just building off work that other teams have done. It's not like we invented soccer or we invented how to put a team together. We came in off the backs of a lot of great work by everyone else. And it's great for the league that we're doing well. We want other clubs to challenge us, because we need the league to grow. And I think, yes, there'll be a little bit of, they're sick to death of hearing about Atlanta United. But the reality is, on an objective level, it's great for the league, because that game alone, in terms of the exposure we got around the world when we're looking to do media rights, it was the highest watched television show for an MLS Cup final for about 20 years. So all of those factors help. So the reality is, it's good for the league that we won with a successful crowd that we did. But now the real challenge starts, because everyone wants to knock us down a peg.
We crushed it in these playoffs, though, didn't we?
We did. We were really good.
We were really good.
Yeah.
We were really good.
So clutch.
I mean, here's the thing. We went into these playoffs a little hesitant. Now it's played out. We crushed it. We really put it on these opposing teams. And, the fear was obviously the Red Bulls handled them.
Well, right? I was so worried about Yankee Stadium. Remember the first match with NYC we were freaking out about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the moment for me, Mike. So Yankee Stadium, when we had the goal disallowed. So, I'd have said there might have been a tendency in the past, would that have knocked us down a peg? And in fact, all we did was come back and got the goal and got a well-deserved win at Yankee Stadium. I think from there on, we never really sort of looked back. And look, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, we had that loss against Houston at the start of the season, and we had the loss against Toronto at the end of the regular season. I think both of those games were really important to us as the sort of season went on, because they just galvanized the squad at the right time, and we refocused. And, credit to Tata, the coaching staff, and the players, because they were unbelievable in the playoffs.
Hey, Darren.
We ready. We ready.
Hey! Congratulations, Darren Hills.
Cheers, guys. That was great. We had him singing that, and then I had Big Boy sort of put my tweet on,
it was great.
On his Facebook page. So I know I made it in Atlanta.
And a great quote, by the way, at the parade.
Outstanding.
All right, guys. We got more to get to, and he's got work to do. Listen, it's just starting. This journey of us and continuing to be good, that is the job at hand for Darren, and they're going to get after it.
We got to buy new jerseys now, you know, because there's little stars that go on top of the logo.
You know what? You're right. That means how many cups we've won. Hey, coming up, though, we are going to talk Georgia. We're going to get some college football conversation. We'll get back into the Falcons as well here on Dukes and Bell.
To all those doubters, to all the haters that said Atlanta wasn't a sports city, I just want to use the words of one famous ATL-ian. The South's got something to say. That's all I got to say.